As we come to our account in Joshua 5, it's an amazing account we find where God truly keeps his promise to his children. We may be very familiar with, in the first chapter of Joshua, the great promises that God gives to him as he is to lead the great nation of Israel into this land in which he has been preparing for them. For hundreds of years, this promise has been made that they would have their own land. And now Joshua is coming to a point where he is to face the first battle in which this land is to be conquered. But before all of this happens, as Joshua takes charge, we find the promise in verse 9. It says, "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong, of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." As Joshua begins his position of leadership for the nation, God makes this promise with him. And I'm thankful that God, when he puts men and women in a position for his name's sake, that he is with them, that he will give them all that they need to do the task in which he has ordained for them. And we find in our passage of scripture verses 13 down to 15, that God shows how he fulfills his promise. We see that Joshua now has come with the nation, and God has wrought a great miracle in causing the Jordan River to cease flowing, that they might cross over and enter into the land. And as the nation cross over into the plains and encamp there, the Jordan River, the waters start to flow once again. There is no going back for this nation. There is only forwards. There is only the task of conquering now the people that lay within. And the question for us today is, what are we facing? What Jerichos for us lay ahead? You see, God in his sovereignty has brought us to this position, in the same way that he brought this nation here. He passed them over the waters, and now the waters continue to flow. And maybe we're in a point in our lives where we have crossed into a position and where we are not familiar and we're not comfortable. But there is no going back. But there is only onwards and upwards for the Lord's sake. And so often we find that we try to look back. We try to swim back across the Jordan River, as it were. But the truth today is that God knows where we are, and God has placed us. And in our times of weakness, when we face these great challenges ahead of us, that is when he desires to do a great work in our lives. Not that we might be glorified, but that his power might be shown. And we find that this is exactly the message here we find in these verses. So often, the book of Joshua is misconstrued as a book talking about the saints and their entering into salvation, to the heavenly realms. But truly we find that the account of Joshua, as we read, that there were many failings, there were many fallings away from obedience to God. There was much strife and battle and warfare. And so we find that this is not an account of heaven, for there will be no strife, there will be no battles, there will be no falling away from God. Just perfect oneness with him and communion with him. Rather, instead, we find that this is an account of victorious Christian living. How for obedience and faith in God and reliance on him, how it brings the victory, and that we can gain ground for his name's sake, that the world might know that there is a God in heaven. And so we find Joshua as he is in the plains looking unto this great city. No doubt he is thinking of some military strategies in which he might come against this city. And I'm sure as he looks at the great walls, the mighty embankments which fortify the people within, that his heart was fainting. That in his carnal mind there were thoughts and ideas that told his heart that there was no way that he could conquer. There was no way that he and this nation, with all their might and strength, could do anything against this city. But we find that Joshua truly remembered the words of the Lord, that God would be with him. And although he had these thoughts of great tribulation within, he knew that God would be the one to provide. And so in verse 13 we find, "It came to pass that when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes." I believe that this was not just a time where he was thinking of a strategy to attack this city, But it was a time where he was lifting his eyes unto the Lord and seeking God. And I can tell you, friends, that the best thing that we can do when life gives us these Jerichos to face, these great trials, these great battles to be had, that we are to lift up our eyes. And what happens when Joshua lifts up his eyes? The Bible tells us he looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him, and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the hosts of the Lord am I now come. We find that as Joshua looked up his eyes, there stood a man with a sword in his hand. One who says to Joshua that he is the captain of the host of the Lord, and that he is now come. There was a great battle to be had, and here we find the Lord came himself. You see, this is Christ. Christ came as a captain of the host of the Lord. May we not misunderstand this. Many people believe that this to be an angel of the Lord. But we find in verse 15 the response of this Lord. It said, And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And Joshua did so. My friends, the only ground that is holy is where God is dwelling. We find in every other account where a man encounters an angel and they bow before him, the angel says, Get up. Only God deserves this kind of worship. Truly, friends, this is Christ in all his might, with his sword drawn in his hand, Christ coming and drawing close to the one in whom he promised that he would be near. But it is interesting to me the way in which God, or Christ himself, came to Joshua, and the response of Joshua. We find that Joshua, in verse 13, and in the question comes, in the latter part, it says, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? We see here that Joshua, this was a man who knew and communed with God, that God had spoken to him, that he had a great relationship with him, and he was entrusted to lead a nation in the name of God. Yet he did not recognize him when he appeared to him. Never before had he seen God as a mighty warrior with a sword drawn in his hand, ready to do battle. And is this not just a picture of the way with our relationship with God? Facing life's Jerichos, oftentimes there are times when we seek him and we plead that he would reveal himself to us. And when he does, we don't recognize him. We've seen him in a new light. We've seen him in a way that we've never seen him before. And he has come to us and he has ministered unto us in a way that we have never known or experienced. And this is who Christ is today, still. He is a God who comes to us as our need. He is a comforter in times of trouble. He is a physician in times of illness and sickness. He is a warrior in times of battle. He is a captain of our host. And those moments that we see God, a new aspect of Christ and who he is and what he means to us and what he has done for us, doesn't he become so much more precious to us? You see, Joshua looked and saw Christ with his sword drawn in his hand, and he saw him in a new light, as a mighty warrior with his sword in his hand. When was the last time that you and I saw Christ in a new light? You see, we can never get enough of trying to understand, of coming to that revelation of who Christ truly is. And so often we're so content with the image that we have built up in our minds of who he is and what he has done for us. But the truth is, we can never fully understand the fullness of Christ. And may we never grow dim or dull of trying to pursue that knowledge. May we never be content with the knowledge that we have of him. There is more to know. Christ is for us what we need in our times of difficulty. And in this time, he revealed himself as a mighty warrior. I also wanted to look at the fact that Christ had the sword drawn in his hand. Now, some might think that, you know, this was a way to intimidate Joshua, but I do not believe this. God is not one to intimidate his children. But I believe that his sword was not drawn in vain, that there was a purpose that his sword was drawn in his hand. Now we find, I remember as I worked alongside the Gurkhas for a few years down there in Folkestone, that there was a tradition that a Gurkha who had a kukri, this was a kind of weapon that they would carry, and it was a curved blade, if you like, and they used this kukri as a, not just ceremonial, but they would use it in battle too. And there was this saying that every time that they would draw this kukri, that blood had to be drawn. That there was never a time that they would use this weapon or this tool in vain. And I believe our Lord Jesus Christ would never draw his sword in vain. You see, I believe that through this text that Christ had already won the victory. That his sword was drawn because he had just returned from the spiritual warfare that had just happened. That there was a great battle that had just occurred in which the city had already now been conquered. And that the work had been done. If you just follow down to chapter 6, we find in verse 2, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valour." You see, Christ had just returned from the victory of conquering this great city and the people within. This is why his sword was drawn. And is that not a comfort to us today? Whatever trials that we are facing, whatever Jerichos are coming our way, God has already won the victory, and in every situation his name will be glorified and he will be uplifted, because all things are working together for good. And isn't this a beautiful picture of salvation? That Christ has done the work for us. And so often we look at a situation, maybe you're here tonight and you've never put your faith in Christ because your sin just seems like too much. It seems like there's too much for you to bear, too much for you to deal with. Well, Christ today says, I have done the work. My sword has been drawn. I have conquered with the sword already. All it has for you to do now is for you to trust me and to go forward. You see, this city will crumble if you trust me. Christ had truly won the victory already. His sword was drawn. And we of such little faith so often, when we cannot see past the great walls and great embankments, we forget that Christ has won the victory. And maybe you say here tonight, you might think, well, Joshua still had to use his sword. Well, yes, Joshua used his sword, but he was fighting in the victory. He had to do no work to make those walls crumble. There was no work for him to do that he might enter into the city. All it was for him to do was take the spoil, and that he would be partaker of that victory. All it had for him to do now was to go in faith. See, the Lord had his sword in his hand because he had already won the victory. What a beautiful the truth that is for us today as Christians. We just have to go forward in faith and trust that he is strong enough. Let's look thirdly at the response to the question. We saw earlier that Joshua didn't quite recognize his Savior. We see the question, he says, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And the Lord says, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. We find here that the Lord responds to this question in like manner to how he would respond to questions in the New Testament accounts. There was a question posed to him, and rather than an answer in which was expected, there was a deeper level, a deeper meaning to the truth in which was occurring at that time. And so Joshua, in nervousness, no doubt he would have had his hand ready poised over his weapon, ready that if this person was to be an adversary, that he was going to try and slay and to conquer this man who had come up against him. But Christ, in all his wisdom, said, no, I am neither of these things. I am not for you. I am not for your enemies. But I am here as a captain of the host of the Lord. This is why I am come. I am here for my own glory, Christ says here in this account. This is my purpose. This is my plan. This is the way that I am going, that my name might be glorified. The true question here today is, are you with me, Joshua? Are you with me? Now, so often we get this mixed up. So often we have this attitude that Joshua had when he saw the Lord. Joshua had his plan in his mind and he was looking at the city. And as this man came, as the Lord came, he said, how is this man going to fit into my plan? And do we have this attitude with Christ today? When we read of him, when we learn of him, when we know of what he has done, do we have these attitudes of how is this going to fit into my life? How is this going to fit into my plan? And we must have this attitude that Christ reveals that truly this is not anything to do with us, the life in which we live. But this world is moving for us, the course of time is going in the wisdom of God and in all his sovereignty. Are we with him? We're not here to fit God into our box. We're not here to fit Christ in what other way fits comfortably into our plans and or in our lives. But God is moving forward. His work continues. His kingdom is being built. His promises are being fulfilled. And are we ones to stand by and miss all this blessing? Because we believe that we have this attitude that it is to fit within our own understanding. No, but as a captain of the host of the Lord am I now come, says the Lord. This was a battle for Christ and for Christ alone. And he had won the battle. You see, it's again, it's the same message. We are just here for the ride. We are just here to obey and submit, that we can join in that blessing that he has for us. Oh, he has drawn near to us, that he can show us that he is mighty, that he is able, and that he will conquer on our behalf. The response to the question, are you for us or against us? Well, Christ clearly says, no, I'm here for myself. What's the question to us? Are we here for the purpose of God? Or are we using God for our own purposes, to try and fit him in to our own plans? You see, the purpose of salvation is not that we might just go to heaven, but that Christ might be glorified by the saving of God's elect. We need to evaluate our motives. Are we following Christ because he fits into our plan, or that he might be glorified? This purpose, this battle that was faced before him, was not for Joshua's own good. It was not for his own glory, but it was for God's glory. And may that be the theme of our lives. That we would move forward despite the difficulties, trusting him, that he might be glorified above all. Is that truly our motive this evening? And here we find the response of the captain to Joshua. And lastly, I just wanted to look briefly at how Joshua was prepared for battle. We see in the account, we see that Joshua asked this question in verse 14. After Christ reveals that this is his plan, this is his purpose, that he would defeat this city, these people, Joshua says, what saith my Lord unto his servant? After Joshua, after it is revealed to him that this truly is the Lord before his very eyes, that he is waiting on some instruction for him, that he is waiting for some tactic, some weakness within the enemy that will surely bring the victory for him, that will surely make these walls crumble. But it is not so. This is not how God prepares or how Christ prepares Joshua for the battle. What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now God, Christ, in all his wisdom, does not say to Joshua, you are to train your men in this way. You are to get ready practically this way. This is the way that we are going to defeat the enemy. No, he says, you are to worship me as I deserve. Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. You see, many times when we face great difficulties and trials, when Jerichos are standing before us, so often our practical minds start to move, start to go into motion. And I struggle with this oftentimes myself. As a husband and as a father, I have a very practical sense in how I want to solve an issue. And when there are things in my heart that I'm struggling with spiritually, I think to myself, how am I going to deal with this? How am I possibly going to defeat this sin maybe, or defeat this enemy, or defeat this, or conquer this situation which I am in? And God does not give us instruction of practical means, but he says, come unto me, know who I am, and worship me. My friends, this is the best preparation that we could have as Christians. When we are facing great trials, when there is work to be done for the Lord and our carnal minds are struggling, we need to come back again to God and worship him for who he is. So oftentimes we're like Joshua here. What saith my Lord unto his servant? We search the scriptures and say, what is a practical element in which I can look for? Give me a verse, Lord, that shows me my steps. But so often God requires for us to worship him, reverence him, come to him, glorify him, pray to him, draw close to him. You see, it is only when we come again back into his presence that the Lord can do a mighty work with our lives. May we not be those who substitute this holiness, this communion with God, with a busyness of life, with a practicality. Yes, there's a balance. Yes, that we are to be practical and we're to be mindful of the practical elements of our lives. But there is a time when this should all flow from a true communion with God. You see, it was God who sent them on this journey. It was God who had ordained that they were to go through this battle. And what foolishness it would be for Joshua to depart from God, to break away that communion with him and to carry on in his own strength. God says to us tonight, worship him. May we not be those who look for some practical element to overcome these spiritual difficulties in which we face. I was reminded of Matthew 26, at the time when Jesus was to be taken away. And I'll read from 47, Matthew 26, verse 47. It says, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant on the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword in his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish by the sword. We find here that Jesus was to be taken away to be crucified. This was the very beginning of his trial, in which marked the beginning of the end for the earthly ministry of the disciples with Jesus. And we find now that as the people came and took hold of Jesus, one of his disciples drew a sword and smote one of the servants. And Jesus rebukes this. He says, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. And is this not the nature of us today so often? That there is a problem. We know, we forget that this is God's will so often, and we try and fix it ourselves. And God says, if this is the way that you are to live, you will perish this way. Put up again thy sword, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. The only way that we are to live a victorious Christian life is to trust in him and not take up our own swords, as it were. Put up your sword. What is it that you are fighting against? What is it that you in your own strength is desiring to conquer? It is all in the hands of the Lord. May we trust him. May we serve him and worship him before any of this. May we realize that God is in control of the situation that we find ourselves in, and he alone has the strength to bring us through it. What battles are you facing to today? You see, when we look to Jesus, he is everything that you need and we need. We see that he is the one who attends to us in the very need that we have at the very moment. He has already won the victory. It is finished, he cried out on the cross. The trials and tribulation, the suffering of sin, the conquering of death, it's all finished. He's the one to have the victory in our lives. And we are in this plan of sovereignty that he has ordained for us, for his glory. Are you going to be part of that? Are you to draw near to him through these times? May we not be those who try and bring God into our own plans. You see, he desires that you are to honour him before all else. He desires that you would draw near to him in the midst of these difficulties, in times when we feel like there is just no way that we can see a way through. There's just nothing in our own strength that can be done. Well, Christ, he desires to have that victory, and he desires that you would have that victory through honouring him foremost in our lives. So I hope that these messages, this message that we received this evening, will be encouraging to you in these times in which we face, which are like no other, in these times that we truly do feel trapped, that the Jordan River has closed behind us, that there is no going back, and before us seems nothing but strife. But the truth is that God has ordained that. God has brought us to this point. Nothing is out of his hands. And there is glory for God to be had in this situation. And so as Christ drew near to Joshua at this time, so he draws near to us. May we lift up our eyes and seek him, and realize that he has a sword that will destroy every trial and difficulty that lays before us. And may we see, as we seek him, as we lift up our eyes, may we see more of him. May we see that he is one who conquers for us. And may he be ever more beautiful to us in that sense. But foremost, may we be those who worship him and honour him through whatever situation we face. May we truly, because this is a time where people are looking at us. You see, all other false religions, all other false professions, they crumble at time of difficulty. And now the world look at the children of God and think, what will they do? How will they respond? And this will be the greatest testimony if we can truly stand up and show that God is with us, that Christ fights our battles, and that we can rely on him for our strength. I hope you're encouraged this evening that you are not alone, that Christ fights for you, and that there is great spoil to be had for the glory of God.